Hear our prayer, O Lord. Hear our prayer. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Worshiping in God's temple, the printed course text is 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 1 through 9. In way of review, last week we saw the posture and the position of prayer as Solomon dedicates the temple. This is some laid out thing. This ain't no storefront. This is a temple. It's hooked up. It's got gold and silver and bronze and glass. It's decked out. And the people are decked out, coming to the house of God. This is the Lord's house that they, through the efforts of Solomon, were allowed to build. And anybody can't build God's house. God will do the designating. And it should be a lesson from last week, is that we always seek God's face when we start the building process, when we start talking about it. But we also found out that now every day we walk around with a temple, giving God praise. Today we're going to see why the temple was built. See, the temple wasn't built just to display its majestic splendor, Mac. The temple was built for worship. I think sometimes we forget that we get so caught up and how the building looks, that we forget the purpose of the building. That the purpose of the house of God, as we know, the church house, is to give God praise. It's a place where you and I can come together corporately and praise and worship God. And today, the old folk, I ain't talking about no jitterbug. I ain't talking about nobody that's 80 or 90. I'm talking about folk that are thousands of years aged, even now in eternity, going to show us how to worship. They're going to show you how to put it down. They're going to show you how worship ain't a plaything. They're going to show you how it starts and how it ends. And you know what I like about it? You know what I like about it, Sister Nina? In showing and writing the Old Testament scriptures and chronicling the history of the temple and the Jewish people, we see a lesson that runs even into the New Testament and even into the paradigm here at the Resurrection Baptist Church. And next step, 201. Realize y'all may not know what that is because we ain't had it in a long time, but next month we'll be back on target. We teach the four habits. And today, as we go through the lesson, see if the four habits aren't there. They're right there. We started last week with prayer. That's how all worship service should begin, is with prayer. With prayer. Can I give you an alarming fact, your singing don't usher in the presence of the Lord. But we're going to see here this morning that prayer does. Oh, y'all better hear me. Y'all better hear me, because this lesson is tailored to teach all of us how we ought to really be worshiping. And you know what? It's a new thing. But yet is as old as the sage. Because Solomon already declared, ain't nothing new under the sun, folk. Y'all running around trying a new way to worship God. Why don't you just worship him the way you know how? Why don't you just open up the book and find out how it is and how it should be done? Y'all going to have to bear with me in my old age. Because the older I get, the more I realize that Solomon told the truth. Ain't nothing new under the sun. The older I get, see, because as you get older, you look anticipatorily to the date. Oh, man, they're going to come up with this. And they're going to, and when they come up, it's the same old thing. They started out with the big cell phone. Then they went to the flip phone. Then the miniature phone. They got smaller and smaller. They got so small you couldn't even see. Now they're going back to the big phone. See, if you just stayed where you were. Here I am, Keith. I just stayed where I am. Because I realize ain't nothing new. So we're trying to find out all these new ways, and we got a book here that tells us exactly how it needs to be done. And we saw last week, it needs to start with prayer. And boy, did he pray. Look at verse 1, and we'll see something. Now. Good God Almighty. Look here. When you're talking about praying till the fire comes down, that's some kind of prayer. This boy prayed. He prayed all through chapter 6. And now we're at chapter 7. And chapter 7, verse 1 says, when he stopped praying, when he stopped praying, fire came down and it consumed the sacrifice that was made during the dedication ceremony. That's God putting his stamp of approval on what's going on to this end, to this point. And what we've seen go on to this point is prayer and sacrifice. And God says, I like this. I like it so much that I'm going to join y'all. Y'all better hear me. Now, y'all, you read it. Dorothy, I know you read that. I know you saw. It says, and the glory of the Lord filled the whole house. You talking about invoking the presence of the Lord? I ain't heard them sing a song yet. Now, they could have, but they sure enough prayed. And the glory of the Lord, we're talking about the Shekinah glory, came and filled the whole house. That should be our prayer every day. Lord, fill with your presence. See, and you say, well, personally, how does that appear? You know, we got all these big places now. You know, some of them bigger than the temple. Some of them smaller than the temple. How do we get it? Ephesians 5. That's why we ask the Spirit to continually fill us. That's how we invoke the presence of the Lord. And see, if you bring the presence of the Lord, and I bring the presence of the Lord, it fills the whole house. We be jam-packed. But it says they prayed, and the whole house was filled with, first of all, the glory of the Lord. Now that's church. That's real church. And you notice here, it's a big, beautiful place, isn't it? They didn't come in there all staunch. Maybe, I don't like the color scheme, so let's change it. They came in there praising God. Their focus was on God. Solomon came here praying. Nobody was looking around. Now, I know, y'all know Solomon. Solomon was wise and handsome and had an eye for the ladies. But I don't see here recorded anywhere that anybody was focusing on Solomon or that Solomon was focusing on anybody except the Lord. And when he finished praying, God says, I approve this. Read verse 2 for me. I'll show you something. See, so in other words, the pattern of worship should be we ought to pray. We ought to always pray if we're talking about worshiping. Verse 2. Y'all better run out of here. This boy prayed. The glory of the Lord filled the whole house, and the priest couldn't come in. Well, Brother Sneed, I'm confused. Wait a minute. I thought they were in the house. No. See, that's why you got to read this whole thing in context. See, they came in and did their little duty. And then they went outside. And Solomon still prayed because they were doing their duties. I'll show you this in a minute. And now, when they tried to get back, they couldn't get in because the glory was so thick, there was no room. See, that's the way we are always worshiped. We ought to pray so hard that the glory of God will fill us and there won't be any room for self. Amen. See, because you're the priest. You're the priest of the holy temple now. You should invoke, once you invoke the presence of the God, there ain't no room for you. You don't focus on self. The whole attention now is on the glory of the Lord. And it was invoked by prayer. God filled his praise with his presence. Oh, but if there's a verse 1, a verse 2, and a verse 4, there's got to be a verse 3. let me show you the proper response to the presence of God. Read it. You see, folk, worship is the appropriate response to the presence of God. When God shows up, it's time to worship. And it says that they bow down in reverence. They didn't stand up. They didn't get any prompting. Notice that Solomon has not said one word, Fred. He got through praying. He said, amen. The glory of the Lord filled the temple. The Lord shows up. The priest can't get in. And the people fall on their knees and pray and worship. Because anytime God is in his holy temple, it's a time for worship. So when you look at that, if you carry it out to its full extrapolation, it's always a good time to worship God because God is always in this temple. God is worthy to be worshiped. We worship him because he's worthy, because he's full of glory and he has revealed that glory in that he walks with us and he talks with us. And when we understand what it is and who it is that we are acknowledging, we can't do anything but fall out and worship. They bow down. Oh, but I want you to notice one other thing. Ain't no priest, preacher, or king. Keith, I want you to watch this. You can look at me. They ain't no look at me. I have to go to one of my members for cover here. Ain't no priest, ain't no king, ain't no prophet. None of them had to prompt the people to bow down. Ain't, Solomon ain't said, now stand to your feet or fall down on your knees and touch your neighbor. And look, when you in worship, you ain't got time to be listening to him or them or they. You're looking at the Almighty God. He should be your total focus. Nobody got to prompt you to praise. Nobody got to prompt you to worship.
God's been good to you. I don't know how good God's been to you. I got an idea because I know how good he's been to me. But nobody should have to prompt you to praise and worship God. Nobody got to beg you to worship God. These people are showing you how to worship here. They are so grateful for what God has done. Oh, when the glory fills. See, well, let me tell you, when you're really in the presence of God, you know how to worship. Because the presence of God, worship is the response to the presence of God. Ah, it's something else here, though. I know it is. Let's see. Verse 3 said that they bowed down with their faces on the ground. And guess what? Bow down, Keith. That's worshiping God. But it also says, and they praise God. Yeah, yeah. y'all don't see it. Because I'm going to tell you why. Start at praise and read the rest of the verse.
Praise the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever.
They worship God because they reverenced him. They acknowledged his presence. But they praise God for his action. See, worship is the natural response for his presence. But praise is the natural response for his good works. He's good. And his mercy endureth forever. When you think about how much God has done for you, you can't help but cry out, glory, hallelujah. You can't help but stand up, clap your hands, stomp your feet. And if you're one of those folk, you know, like old Fred Kendall used to talk about, when you go back home, said the old folk, they would be so glad to see you that they didn't even have the words. They'd just say, Whatever you need to do to acknowledge how much God has done for you, you do it in praise. And so nobody can tell you how to praise. You praise him in your own way. You praise him according to your personality. The Bible here is showing us how we need to worship. We need to invoke the presence of God in true worship, and then we need to praise him, because when we think about all the things that he's done for us, you know, some folk just dance, you know, when they think about the goodness of the Lord. Some folk just sing. Some folk just holler out a squall, you know. But they're responding to the presence and the goodness of God. They're showing us how to worship. They're really showing us how to worship. So, verse 4 then says,
in the
kingdom, all the people offer sacrifices before the Lord. Hey, Mac. I saw about 8 people on the row back there. They want to get excused because now it's offering time. But they worshiped, they praised, and now they give. Because giving is worship. They're showing you how to worship here. So all those folks say all they want to do is talk about money. And you know what? This ain't the first offering. Remember they took up one in the dedication service. They used to, you know, I see now, you know, these modern guys, you know, they give online and they do all that kind of stuff, you know. But you know, the issue, and they criticize churches, Rob, on some certain sections of town that take up an offering for this and an offering for that. Well, last time I checked, they had an offering before the prayer. y'all don't hear me. Don't you see the sacrifice that just got consumed? That was an offering. And it says, then Solomon, then all the people gave again. Woo! Y'all got to hear this, because y'all won't like this. I'm sick of running through the offering. I don't care who gets up there and wants to lift the offering. You know, I like when Pete gets up there and give them time to write a check. Nobody ain't write no check when you get up there in 30 seconds again. Stand right there. Yeah, you know, I get happy right about now. Yeah. What he's doing, he's getting happy. He said, how many of y'all going for y'all pen? So you can give up in here. We in worship now. Everybody talking about we going down. No, we going, these boys are going higher. Y'all don't hear me. It's an intricate part. So now, wait a minute. We started off with prayer. Oh, that's one of the disciplines, isn't it, Amber? Ooh. And now we're talking about tithing. That is one of the disciplines. Ooh, they really? Man, ain't nothing changed, has it? They still teaching that stuff at resurrection. And we need to teach it till Jesus comes back. Because maybe we'll get it. If we learn how to worship, all these other things will be added to us. If we first learn to acknowledge God rather than men. You know what? I love all of y'all. I like your ability. I realize we got some heavy hitters in this church. I realize y'all got titles, long, short, through, dim, thick. I realize y'all some bad mama jamas, but ain't nobody greater than God. I looked all over. Couldn't find nobody. Not one is greater. That's what he said. Just I looked everywhere else. So when we come here, we need to focus on God. We need to give to God. You are not giving Reverend Brown, Deacon Thompson, Pastor Carr. You ain't giving them your money. You're giving your money to God. Notice one thing, Rob. Solomon ain't said a word. Because Solomon done what he's supposed to do. See, in this temple, worship is organized. Y'all don't hear me. Oh, I'm about to mess with you now. Worship was organized. All this stuff that's going on, it's structured. They got the right people. They got people working. Y'all don't hear me. I know y'all read the lesson. Do you realize for this coronation ceremony, they enlisted the help of 38,000 priests and Levites. 38,000. 4,000 musicians. Y'all better help. These people throwing down. They know how to do it. But so far, they prayed and they gave. And it was everybody that was giving. I want you to read verse 5 for me. It don't take all that. Yeah, it don't take all that. That's what they say during offering time. Why don't he go on and collect it? It don't take all that. Notice one thing. Pastor Solomon did not give up and says, I want everybody in my 100 oxen line to get over here. Everybody in my 3 oxen line get over there. Everybody, all my tithers get in there. Right. Solomon, it talks about what he did. And what he did, because I want to get the number right, he gave 22,000 oxen and 20,000 sheep. That's all the trustees of the church counting. They count that money. Better not leave no 100 grand on the table. 120. Did y'all hear? Now I hear the folk, because I can hear them. They don't understand that I sit there in that same seat every Sunday, because it is the seat in which all the voices come down. I have to distinguish the voices from the pastor's voice, God's voice, and all of y'all's voice. But I hear you. It don't take all that. All these people doing this. It don't take all that. Let me tell you one thing. This was his sacrifice. It is a sign. It's a symbol that points to the ultimate sacrifice. You know what the ultimate sacrifice is? Jesus Christ. Say it now. It don't take all that. Say it don't take all that now. God gave his riches for you. And here Solomon says, God has blessed us. I'm giving it back to him. But you got to understand the sacrifices that this was not a one-day event. Y'all going to see. See, they had church in them days. We cry about a little hour and 15 minutes, you know, of gospel light. That's what I call it. These folk, they cry. Yeah, I remember we used to stay in church all day long. Yeah, I remember that too. All day? Try 15 days of throwing down. Oh, my goodness. Oh. They had homes. They had crops to plant. You know, they had matters to be attended to. But God was more important. This house of worship. They've been worshiping this little tent forever. And now, they're in this big palatial palace of a temple. Something worthy of God. And they did exactly what they did, though, in the little tent. Y'all need to hear me. I remember, and some of you remember, we had 119 members. We were in one room with an upstairs when I got here. And we've been in one room. We've been in houses. God filled the place then. And he fills the place now. So it ain't the building. I'm just here to tell you. It's all about God. It was God then. It's God now. This church was built on tithes and offerings. Because a young pastor says, we're not going to spend our time selling fish sandwiches and washing cars. We can spend that time studying the Word of God. We're going to give according to the Word. Well, here's what I say. If we're going to use the Bible in one instance, we use them in all instances. Because it's a good thing to use. Because you can't lose with the book you use, especially this book. You can't, hey, Vanessa, I need to tell you, you can't do it. God is showing us this morning, resurrection, how you ought to really worship. The kind of worship that he endorses. The kind of worship that he says, I'll join you. If you just invoke the right worship, you come with the right attitude. And giving is a part of it. Ain't nobody mad. These folk are giving over and above anything that they are of a match. They never imagined this big, beautiful temple would be flowing with animal blood in just a matter of hours after they got there. But this is what God had required of them. And this is what they did to show their thanks. Thank you, Lord. You run up in here every day. Big, beautiful building. Never said thanks. Run up here every day. I remember it used to get so hot, thought all of us had missed the rapture. Now it gets so cold in here, I'm wondering if the rapture's gonna come. But God is good. So we don't have to complain. And so we praise him, and now we're sacrificing to him, and we're doing it over and above what anybody would imagine. And don't let no naysayers tell you what you need to give the church. All right. Yeah. Mr. Wooten, 2 years ago, put out the response about legacy giving, you know, for many folk, you know, and that it's a tragedy. And like I said, I had to deal with that just this past week. You know, folk live and they outlive all their heirs. And the state comes in and takes what they worked and scrimped for. They could have left it to the church. It don't take all that. But God is good. He didn't say it don't take all that. Hey, my son? No, it don't take all that. God never said it. Verse 6. I see you back there laughing. When God fills the temple, he'll put you out. But then he invites you back in. Oh, y'all don't hear. Y'all didn't see that? I thought the priests were out. But now it says they waited their offices. Because when God is in his holy temple, let all the earth keep silent. You ain't got to do no work. God is here. Now that God is here, let God make the assignment. Yeah, yeah. You provide the structure. Because you've been asked to do church-centric ministry. But when God shows up, let God work this thing. And God will say, all right, you priests, get on your business. All right, you musicians, 4,000 of them. And you know what? That was akin to, here's what this how this verse might read in the Sneed version. And all the preachers, they began to do the work of the ministry. The preachers and the deacons, see, because the priests here were, you know, only a few of them were actual, what we would say, preachers. Most of them were deacons. They were folk who were assigned to do the work in the temple. So now, all this sacrificing going on, they were the ones to account for the money. 4,000 of them, just account for the money. It don't take all that. 4,000 to meet the needs of the people in the temple. It don't take that many. Y'all better hear me. You better remember this one, because you'll hear it again. Don't let anybody tell you that you can do too much for God. Because if God is in his holy temple, God is at work. And he will tell you what work to do. He'll tell you when to move. When you're in real worship. You don't move God. God will move you in real worship. What is wrong with this crazy man today? Musicians with their instruments, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever. You praise God because of what he has done for you and is doing for you. And the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all of Israel stood up. Da-da-da-da! Stand up. Oh, when they heard the trumpet, when they heard the first key, people jumped up to their feet. Because they said, I ain't let you praise God for me. I praise God for myself. Because he's not only doing something for the preacher, he's not only doing something for the deacon, he's not only done something for the musician, he's done something for all of you. And he's worthy to be praised. Ain't nobody said yet, hug your neighbor and get up here. No. Neighbor, get out of my way, because I'm getting ready to do my thing. See, that's real worship. Not orchestrated. We got to get back to real, authentic worship, where God really means something, and we come corporately to express how good God is. And notice one thing. It's not a show for God. God's already done his thing. Boom! He consumed that sacrifice. His glory. He says, I'm in the house. And they said, you sure are, Lord. You're worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Da-da-da-da. Everybody, get your groove on. They praise the Lord. And you know what's really interesting? They praised him during giving time. So when the preacher stands up talking about giving some giving music, don't be sitting there. He ought not say that. These boys came up. They started praising the Lord on their own during tithing time, during giving time. Verse 7 says, let me tell you, the day that that happens, I'm not going to say the resurrection church, but the day that that happens in some churches, we'll have stone revival. We'll have preachers breaking out in cold sweats. Because the altar that he had built for the sacrifice, see, what's happening here, it's because he gave tea, the people started giving. Hey, here's my lamb. Hey, here's my oxen. And so Solomon said, hold up, pull up. I'm going to designate. I'm going to hallow this ground, this altar here. I realize I already built one, but I'm going to hallow this area right here to receive. You guys can put your sacrifices here. Y'all don't get it.
We got it.
Don't let nobody fool you into believing that, you know what, I got to put the money in the plate. No, you can give it online. We have dedicated that. I ain't right. It's all right. I'm not going to be here after this Sunday. Oh, okay. All right. Fired. But okay. All right. Don't let nobody fool you. They dedicate it because what happens is we'll make room for your giving. Oh, somebody better hear me. And you know what? You'll make room for your giving. You want to give to God because you can't even begin. You can't even begin to approach what he's done for you. Let me tell you something, folks. I don't care who's in here. I don't care what your economic status is. I don't care what your socioeconomic status is. I don't care what your political affiliation is. I don't care what your professional affiliations are. You are where you are because of God. And anybody who don't like where they are, you ought to check with God about it. You don't have to come and complain to Deacon Newsom, Sister Edwards, Keith Edmonds, or anybody else. All you got to do is go to God himself and says, what's up? I'm missing out on something. And one of you go. You know why I know? Because God's been good to you. He took care of you when you wouldn't even take care of yourself. You were too ignorant to take care of yourself. You're out there destroying your body, and God was taking care of you. You were out there wasting your money, and God was taking care of you. When you didn't think nothing about God, God was always thinking about you. And that's why the old gospel singer could say, "What can I render to God? Well, all I can give him is my life." Give him all. And if you really give him your life, you give him your life. You don't keep some of it for yourself. These folk aren't playing. These folk are worshiping. And they're taking worship serious as they are giving. They're singing, dancing, having a great time while worshiping. Let me tell you what that's like. That's like you walking down Main Street in San Antonio. And you got a pocket full of money. And everywhere you go, somebody say, "Could I have some?" And you just walking right on down the street. Every time somebody asks, people don't even ask, "Hey, you take one too." You're satisfied. You knew you were going to do that. Ain't nobody robbed you. Ain't nobody held you up. I said you were walking down the street. You did it because it was volitional. It's a part of your will. And you can do your will no matter how you feel. That's what we can give to God. This little chump change that we got, it's chump change compared to God. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And you worried about a dollar? Trust me, the only people that's worried about a dollar in here is Sister Edwards and Harry Reese. Well, they're not here. You know, because they believe, you know, it is better to give than receive, and blessed is the cheerful giver. But their motto as trustees should be, "We'll take it even from a grudge, though." No. God's been too good to us to ever complain. And especially when you worshiping. You mad in the house of God about giving him something that he gave you already. Can somebody help me up in here? These folks showing us how to, it says pray. Praise God. Tithe and praise God. Verse 7 says, verse 8, I'm sorry. Read verse 9. They prayed, they praised, they gave, and they partied. Y'all don't hear it. See, we call it in this expression, fellowship. There you go, Amber. You got it. All four. We still teaching it. It ain't nothing. We dressed it all up and think it's slick. You know, put it on some color slides. But all we had to do was go to the Word of God in the Old Testament and find out that these are the disciplines that Christians, people who call themselves lovers of God, followers of Jesus Christ, this is what they need to do. You need to pray. You need to give. You need to praise. And you ought to forsake not the assembly of yourselves. We ought to come together in fellowship. Come to church. You know, when we were smaller, every restaurant within about a 15-mile radius, they knew Resurrection. Resurrection been put out some pretty popular restaurants. We show up and eat them up out of house and home. There you go. I remember Will Moore. I mean, you guys, years ago, the Holiday Inn was real famous for their Friday night cuisine. And we used Deacon Moore, and he started organizing. The man see Deacon Moore, he said, "Sorry! close. But we fellowship after church. I can't tell you the last time that I've gone to dinner with someone after church. That fellowship piece. I'm going to do it at other times. But these boys, they came together. They worshiped for 7 days. They feasted for 7 days. And on the eighth day, they went back to church again. That's what verse 9 tells you. They went back to church in a solemn. Because they always wanted to remember that, they wanted you to remember that, in our case, I'll substitute resurrection. They wanted you to remember that it was the Resurrection Baptist Church. That was praising God. That was praying to God. That was giving to God. It is the Resurrection Baptist Church. That is the local assembly where we come together and we fellowship. And they says, it ain't got to be all, you may not like the music. Maybe you'd like the Feast of Tabernacle of the Booth better, because some folk like the eating part better than the... See, when they see the scriptures, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, they be thinking, when we gonna have, we gonna have fellowship at the church? But the thing about it is that they are there. The Old Testament, Chronicles, Kings, history. If you don't know your history, you won't know where you're going. If you don't know your history, if you don't know your church's history, you don't know where the Lord has brought you from. We ain't always had it going on. And yes, we've been through the cycles. There were chicken dinner sold. There were fish dinner sold. There was cars washed. And God blessed us in every one of those occurrences. But he says, when you do true worship, I'll bless you even more. I'll keep on blessing you when you do it right. Why would you ever want to be doing it right and turn around and go do it wrong? I believe in one thing. I'll do the same thing till I die, unless it fails me. I ain't stuck on stupid. But it's working for me. You see what I'm saying? And if God's word says, you do it like this, and I'll bless you, and I see that he is blessing folk that are doing it just like that, I ain't moving. Hey, go right on. But I'm going to stop you from moving. I'll encourage you. Because the very spot that you move from, next to me, God just answered my prayer. You know what the prayer was? Lord, enlarge my territory. Y'all don't hear me. I didn't start this thing yesterday. These lessons are put to us because God wants you to hear them, know them, and do them. We're the church. We are. And notice that these folk, no, they weren't prompted by anybody. Unless you know the church's paradigm, how will you ever know how to operate? This could have been a total disaster. Y'all get the time, go back and read 2 Chronicles 23. Show you how it's organized. These boys got, this organization, they're somewhat slick. David hooked this thing up. I mean, everybody knew exactly what they were supposed to do. Because when you get a whole congregation of folk, that verse 8 and 9 talked about all the people, how they started coming in for the festival. How are you going to handle all those folk and you don't know how to handle them? What if 150 people join your church today? How would you deal with them? You don't deal with them. You deal with them like there's going to be 150, not like there's going to be one. Somebody, wait a minute, am I the only one? Y'all hear me. Y'all hear me in this class. Don't, it is better to have and not need than to need and not have. We need prepared folk. We need equipped folk to do the work of the ministry. You get a whole gaggle of folk and then don't train them to do nothing. All you got is chaos. And when we have chaos, we are not acknowledging who God is, because God is a God of order. He is not a God of confusion. And if he's a God of order, that means he's a God of structure. You don't be in and out and whimsical. He says, I give you pastors, teachers, evangelists, and so forth for the equipping of the saints. And everybody forgets about that next verse, so that you won't be blown by every wind of doctrine. So that everything that comes to you won't look good. It sounds good. It looks good, but it ain't good. That's my time. Thanks for yours.